RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Navy apprehends two Malaysian flag vessels. Positive sentiments help rupiah gain more. Death row inmates arrive at Nusa Kambangan amid preparations for fourth round of executions. Now the news in detail. The Navy arrested two Malaysian flag vessels that were allegedly fishing illegally in the Indonesian waters in the Strait of Malacca on Sunday, March 13. Spokesman for the Indonesian Naval Base, Lantamal 1 in Belawan, North Sumatra, Major Sahala Sinaga, said 10 Myanmarese crew members had been detained. Sahala said as of Sunday, 10 Myanmarese are undergoing investigation in Belawan. Sahala said a Navy patrol boat approached the two vessels, KHF 1785 and FKPB 1781, in different locations when they reportedly entered Indonesian waters. He added that the vessels had been caught using trawls. Sahala said both vessels were caught when fishing near Aceh Tamiang, adding that the vessels were caught by Western Fleet Quick Response Team of Lantamal 1 Belawan. The vessels tried to flee when the Navy patrol boat approached them, according to Sahala. Both ships were pursued by after two warning shots were fired. Besides arresting the 10 crew members, the Navy also found a bomb on board one of the vessels. Sahala suspected that the crew members also carried drugs that were thrown into the sea before Navy personnel boarded it. Reza Priyambada, head researcher of Bina Arta Securities, expected the rupiah to continue to strengthen against the US dollar early this week. Reza predicted that the rupiah will move to around a support level of IDR 13,320 and resistance level of IDR 13,308. Reza said in a written statement on Monday, March 13, that Indonesia expected to gain to be maintained and continued. But Indonesia should also be wary of and anticipate various sentiments that could affect the rupiah's movement. At the end of last week, the rupiah managed to close in the green despite the strengthening US dollar. The rupiah gain was largely affected by positive domestic sentiments, including the statement issued by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs that economic growth in the first quarter of 2017 might reach 5% higher compared to the same period in 2016, where economic growth was recorded at a level of 4.92%. In addition, Bank Indonesia stated that banking credit's interest rate may be lowered to stimulate growth if inflation rate could be maintained at around 3-4%. At least 7 death row inmates from Salemba Penitentiary in Jakarta have been transferred to a high-security prison in Nusa Kambangan, Cilacap, Central Java, a move that has previously preceded executions on the prison island. Abdul Aris, The warden of Nusa Kambangan confirmed on Sunday, March 12, that 56 convicts, including 50 inmates from Salemba and 6 inmates from Magelang, Central Java, were moved to Nusa Kambangan on Friday, but refused to give the exact number of death row inmates among them. Speculation is rife that the 7 death row convicts are U.S. Frank Armando, Chinese Chen Weibiao, Xiu Jingcheng, and Lo Tin Yao, Malaysian Yi Wik Hock, Nigerian Frank Chidiberi, and Hong Konger Lai Xiu Cheng Anika. Attorney General M. Prasetyo said earlier in a hearing with lawmakers that the government was preparing a fourth round of executions. The last time death row convicts were executed on Nusa Kambangan was in July 2016. 4 drug convicts were executed from the 14 listed at the time, consisting of an Indonesian man and 3 Nigerians. Canada's 2 biggest pension funds have agreed to partner with Logos, a real estate logistics operator, to invest in warehouses in Singapore and Indonesia, betting on demand from the rise of e-commerce and a burgeoning middle class in Southeast Asia. That was stated on a written statement which received on Monday, March 13. Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, CPPIB, the top pension fund of the country, said in a statement it will initially commit $200 million Singapore dollar or $142 million US dollar for an about 48% stake in Logos Singapore Logistics Venture. It will also commit $100 million US dollar for a stake of about 48% in Logos Indonesia Logistics Venture. Logos, which operates in Australia, China, Indonesia, and Singapore, will hold the remaining stake in the ventures. Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, CPPIB, said the deals would pave the way for its first direct real estate investments in Singapore and Indonesia. Private equity firms and institutional investors are pouring billions of dollars into warehousing and logistics investment in Asia in recent years, betting on a boom in demand from e-commerce in the region. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Marine and Fisheries Ministry sent a team to Raja Ampat, West Papua, to assess the damage suffered by coral reefs recently hit by a Bahamian flagship, the Caledonian Sky. Chief of Cooperation and Public Information Bureau of the Ministry, Lily Aprilia, said on Monday, March 13, that the team has departed and the Ministry conducted an evaluation of the damages immediately after the incident. The Directorate of Marine Special and the Directorate General of Marine and Fisheries Resources Supervision were also included in the team, which had just arrived on Sunday, March 12. Before the ministry's team had arrived, a local team from Sorong and the Kupang Marine Conservation Area National Agency, together with a task force of the Directorate General of Marine and Fisheries Resources Supervision, has been working on assessing the damage suffered by the coral reefs a few days ago. Meanwhile, Director General of Marine Special Bramantia Satyamurti said that the team will hold a meeting with other respective parties. He noted that the team will prepare steps that will be taken by the government against the cruise ship. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin exchanged Quran's Muslim holy books as souvenirs with King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud on Sunday, March 12, before the king left Bali for Tokyo to resume his Asia tour. Minister Lukman Saifuddin said that he gave a special Istiqlal Quran to the king. It consists of 3 volumes with illustrations on the edges of every page depicting all provinces of the archipelago. Every 20 pages of the manuscript represents one of the country's 34 provinces. Lukman said the Quran represents the characteristics of Indonesia. Thus, it will be a very meaningful gift for King Salman. He also added, "The king was so happy with the gift because the Quran is a very meaningful holy book for Muslims." The Quran Minister Luqman Hakim said was also special, as the cover, paper and packaging was more extraordinary than the usual Qurans that Saudi Arabia produced. Minister Luqman Hakim and Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi accompanied the King to Ngurah Rai International Airport after they had a 10-minute meeting, during which the King received a farewell phone call from Indonesian President Joko Widodo. The Bali Provincial Administration will intensify tourism promotion in Saudi Arabia following a vacation of King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud on the island. Cokorda Bagus Pemayun, Secretary of the Bali Tourism Office, said in Denpasar on Sunday, logically, when their king came here, his people would also like to visit. Moreover, the royal family seemed to very much enjoy their vacation in Bali. He said the king's visit was fresh air for Bali's tourism because there had been a difficulty in attracting Middle Eastern tourists to Bali so far. He believed the king's visit has changed a perception of the Saudi people about Bali, and therefore it would be a golden opportunity for Bali to explore the Saudi market. He added the fact that the king and his family decided to extend their visit to Bali showed that King Salman Al Saud and his family felt happy with their vacation in Bali. The Bali tourism official has seen the king's visit as a major tourism promotion for Bali. The last item. The Provincial Administration of East Kalimantan has set target for its oil palm plantations at 1.6 million hectares with annual production of 18 million tons of fresh fruit bunches in 2018. Success in the implementation of the program would strengthen in and improve the quality of East Kalimantan's economy, head of the Provincial Plantation Office, Ujang Rahmat, said in Samarinda, East Kalimantan, Sunday, March 12. Ujang said, through its regional midterm development plan, East Kalimantan sets its target of 1 million hectares for the second phase to be implemented in 2018. The production is equivalent to 3.2 million tons of crude palm oil CPO, and the plantation provides jobs for 306,644 workers. The processing plants for the production of 14.5 million tons of FFB per year are found in five regions in East Kalimantan: Pasir, Penajam Pasir Utara, Kutai Timur, Berau, and Kutai Negara. Ujang noted this year, East Kalimantan plans to build 17 more units of palm oil processing factories, bringing the total number of plants to 92 units in the region. This news comes to you from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Navy apprehends two Malaysian flag vessels. Positive sentiments help rupiah gain more. Death row inmates arrive at Nusa Kambangan amid preparations for fourth round of executions. That was the news.
Listener, a commentary today entitled "The New Embryo of Terrorist Network in Indonesia." On Friday, last March 10, 2017, Central Sulawesi Regional Police Chief Brigadier General Subahriadi revealed there were nine suspected terrorists arrested by the police area Toli-Toli and Parigi, Central Sulawesi. They are noted to be part of the ISIS World Network, but they are not associated with East Indonesian Mujahideen terrorist group led by Santoso in Poso and surrounding areas. It is assumed that they are a newly formed group in Central Sulawesi. The government of Indonesia must be aware of the emergence of a new group, which is now Pron Santoso Group. The people must also be wary. Probably the group established themselves by exploiting the unfavorable situation, because in some areas there was some chaos due to the regional election, so as the government must pay much attention to it. Radical networks in Indonesia had taken root since Indonesia's independence in 1945 with the political and religious backgrounds. Karto Suwiryo, for example, was the leader of a group trying to establish the Islamic State of Indonesia, NII, or the Indonesian Islamic Army, TII. This organization wanted Indonesia to apply the Islamic law. However, this proposal was rejected because it did not accommodate the diversity in this archipelago. Kartosuwiryo was eventually captured and executed in 1962. However, after that, other new groups or organizations with almost the same goals emerged. Take, for example, Jemaah Islamiyah, which was involved in the Bali terror bombings, Indonesia Mujahideen East, which committed terror in Poso area, and many others. Many innocent people become the victims due to their acts of terror. The security forces continue to strive to stop this terrorist movement. However, although the number is small, a group like this always comes up again. Now they seem to find a new leader of international nature, namely ISIS, that some members of the group are former combatants who got training in the Middle East. In Indonesia, they also set up new cells that are supporters of ISIS. It is possible that 9 people arrested in Central Sulawesi last March 10 are the embryos of a new terrorist network in Indonesia. Terrorism must be watched together because it is dangerous for the integrity of the nation and the state of the Republic of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred March 13, 2007 when Sarbini Sumawinata passed away. Professor Sarbini Sumawinata was a prominent socialist of Indonesia. He was actively developing the idea of community economy in order to improve the welfare of the rural people. He said that state needs to make significant investment to destroy the remnants of feudalism and colonialism that continue to restrict the rural people. Sarbini also recommended various steps of modernization in the field of agriculture. Populist industrialization, which covers all life sectors of village such as agriculture, fishery, trade, transportation and banking, needed to be developed to increase the villagers' welfare. Professor Sarbini Sumawinata passed away on March 13, 2007 and buried on March 14, 2007. The next event was in 1990 when Erzincan earthquake struck eastern Turkey. On 30 March 2019, Erzincan earthquake struck eastern Turkey with a magnitude of 6.7 Richter scale and maximum martial intensity of 8 or severe. Originating on the North Anatolian fault, it rocked the country, leaving at least 498 people dead and roughly 2,000 injured. Total financial losses amounted to $13.5 billion. At 6.7 on the moment magnitude scale, the earthquake was designated as a storm. More than 3,000 aftershocks rocked the area afterwards. The last event was in 1950, First Indochina War. Vietnam forces under Phuong Yong Kiet unleashed a massive artillery barrage on the French to begin the Battle of Dien Bien Phu, the climactic battle in the First Indochina War. The Battle of Dien Bien Phu was the climactic confrontation of the past Indochina War between the French Union's French Far East Expeditionary Corps and Viet Minh Communist Nationalist Revolutionaries. It was from the French few before the event, a set of peace battle to draw out the Vietnamese and destroy them with superior firepower. The battle occurred between March and May 1954 and culminated in a comprehensive French defeat that influenced negotiation over the future of Indochina at Geneva. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia Held International Furniture Exhibition 2017. On March 11, 2017, President Joko Widodo officially opened the Indonesian International Furniture Expo, or IFEX, 2017 at the Jakarta Fair Arena, North Jakarta. On the occasion, the President asked entrepreneurs to jointly overcome the challenges. Based on the report of Andara News Agency, President Joko Widodo explained that the government of Indonesia continues to encourage efforts to strengthen the industry, especially with regards to the development of productivity and exports. At his opening speech at the event, President Joko Widodo said that there are still many problems that need to be resolved jointly between the government and employers. Thus, the President supports the meeting between the business associations and the government. He believes that through frequent meetings, the business associations and his ministers are able to resolve any problems ahead. President Joko Widodo said that one of the government's efforts is to provide some incentive for some industries to increase exports. Besides, he also said he would share discussion with related ministries, such as the Ministries of Industry, Trade, Agriculture, Ministry of Environment and Forestry, and State-Owned Enterprises Ministry, as well as Head of Creative Economy, to discuss issues related to Timber Legality Verification System, or SVLK, and taxation. President Joko Widodo also remarked that there are three important things in furniture industry and handicraft. They are by using 100% of raw materials from Indonesia, by absorbing a lot of employment, and the third by gaining foreign exchange from export. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto said that the industry of furniture and handicraft is a sector-based lifestyle community that needs innovation in product design and follows the latest market appetite so as to compete with imported goods. There are three important factors that determine its development. For example, capital, technology, and human resources. At the opening of Indonesia International Furniture Expo, or IFEX 2017 in Jakarta, Minister Airlangga Hartarto explained on last Saturday that to develop human resources, his ministry will facilitate the development of vocational education through the development of specialized furniture polytechnic in Semarang, Central Java, this year. Minister Airlangga Hartarto said that the national industry's competitiveness in the global market is also aimed at producing products that have a highly added value, utilizing local natural resources, and which are environmentally friendly. He also said that Indonesia has a lot of raw materials and it is rich in culture. Minister Airlangga views that this becomes a strong potential for Indonesia. He also added that the government fully supports the industry of furniture and handicraft, which is one of the export-oriented labor-intensive sectors with more than 500,000 workers across Indonesia. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Associations of Furniture and Handicraft Industry of Indonesia, Sunoto, said in Jakarta on last Saturday, March 11, 2017, that the furniture exhibitions as the largest in Southeast Asia with the theme The Essence of Infinite Innovation provided an opportunity for Indonesian entrepreneurs to introduce products to the international market while increasing penetration into the world export market. The event is expected to encourage producers to continue to innovate in delivering good quality products. He hopes that the government is able to strengthen its support to the industry of furniture and handicraft, starting from a conducive policy design, development, and promotion abroad to financing. The main export markets of Indonesia's furniture and handicraft are currently the United States, Britain, the Netherlands, Germany, France, Australia, Belgium, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, and Taiwan. Last year, the number of visitors to IFAC reached 9,140 people, an increase compared to previous year, which only reached 8,596 people. Minister Hartarto also remarked that this year, IFAC targets to be visited by 10,000 people. Listener, that's Focus for today. I'm Dinugraha. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news in brief. The Navy arrested two Malaysian flag vessels that were allegedly fishing illegally in Indonesian waters in the Strait of Malacca on Sunday, March 13. Spokesman for the Indonesian Naval Base Lantamal 1 in Blawan, North Sumatra, Major Sahala Sinaga said 10 Myanmarese crew members had been detained. As of Sunday, 10 Myanmarese are undergoing investigation in Blawan. Reza Priyampada, head of researcher of Bina Arta Securities, expected the rupiah to continue to strengthen against the US dollar early this week. Reza predicted that the rupiah will move to around a support level of IDR 13,320 and resistance level of IDR 13,308. Reza said in a written statement on Monday, March 13, that Indonesia expected to gain to be maintained and continued. At least 7 death row inmates from Salemba Penitentiary in Jakarta have been transferred to a high-security prison in Nusa Kambangan, Cilacap, Central Java, a move that has previously preceded executions on the prison island. Abdul Aris, the warden of Nusa Kambangan, confirmed on Sunday, March 12, that 56 convicts, including 50 inmates from Salemba and 6 inmates from Magelang, Central Java, were moved to Nusa Kambangan, but refused to give the exact number of death row inmates among them. Canada's two biggest pension funds have agreed to partner with Logos, a real estate logistics operator, to invest in warehouses in Singapore and Indonesia, betting on demand from the rise of e-commerce and a burgeoning middle class in Southeast Asia. Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, the top pension fund of the country, said in a statement it will initially commit $200 million Singapore dollars or $142 million for an about 48% stake in Logos Singapore Logistics Venture. Indonesian Marine and Fisheries Ministry sent a team to Raja Ampat, West Papua, to assess the damage suffered by coral reefs recently hit by a Bahamian flagship, the Caledonian Sky. Chief of Cooperation and Public Information Bureau of the Ministry, Lily Aprilia, said Monday, March 13, that the team has departed and the Ministry conducted an evaluation of the damages immediately after the incident. Indonesian Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin exchanged Quran's Muslim holy books as souvenir with King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud on Sunday, before the king left Bali for Tokyo to resume his Asia tour. Minister Lukman said that he gave a special Istiqlal Quran to the king. It consists of 3 volumes with illustrations on the edges of every page depicting all provinces of the archipelago. The Bali Provincial Administration will intensify tourism promotion in Saudi Arabia following a vacation of King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud on the island. Jokarda Bagus Pumayun, Secretary of the Bali Tourism Office, said in Denpasar Sunday, "Logically, when their king came here, his people would also like to visit. Moreover, the royal family seemed to very much enjoy their vacation in Bali." The Provincial Administration of East Kalimantan has set the target for its oil palm plantations at 1.6 million hectares, with annual production of 18 million tons of fresh fruit bunches in 2018. Success in the implementation of the program would strengthen and improve the quality of East Kalimantan's economy, head of the provincial plantation office, Ujang Rahmat, said in Samarinda, East Kalimantan, Sunday, March 12. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Moat Lake in North Sulawesi. Stay tuned. Listeners, North Sulawesi has three lakes which become favorite. One of them is Moat Lake, located in East Bolaang Mongondo Regency, North Sulawesi. Moat Lake is volcanic one. The lake is in a natural reserve area of Mount Ambang and at an altitude of 1,100 meters above sea level. Listeners, to go to Moat Lake, you can start from Kota Mobagu City. To go to Kota Mobagu, you can go from Manado by using public transportation. The trip from Manado to Kota Mobagu City through Trans Sulawesi to Gorontalo takes around 3 until 4 hours. Arriving at Kota Mobagu, you will take time around 1 hour to Moat Lake. Because going to Moat Lake, there is no public transportation, so we suggest you from Manado to rent vehicle with rental fee $250,000 per day. Listeners, fresh air will welcome you when you see Moat Lake. From at the edge of the highway, it is directly outspread the beauty of this lake. There are several ways to enjoy the beauty of the lake. Firstly, visitors can enjoy the lake from the highway. Here, you can enjoy the beauty of Moat Lake. Secondly, they can enjoy the lake from gazebo. Here, there are some gazebos which can be used by visitors to take rest. Besides, at this place there is wooden dock. From the dock, you can enjoy the beauty of the lake from a short distance. There is green hill surrounding the lake which is able to spoil your eyes and to make you stay longer. And thirdly, from one of the peak of the hills, you can see the scenery view of the lake which seems hidden among the green hills. Listeners, Moat Lake has small islands and still preserve its beauty. It makes siddat or sogili fish, which are rare animals, choose to breed here. At the lake, while enjoying the beauty, you can also do fishing. But if you catch siddat or sogeli fish, you should release the fish, because this fish is rare one, which is protected. You can rent fishing equipment with the fee 5,000 rupiah. When it is afternoon and you are tired, please do not quickly to move out, because you can witness sunset from what lake. Please do not forget to bring camera to take picture of the lake's beauty. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring Muat Lek in North Sulawesi Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language, which introduces you some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is berbelanja di pasar tradisional, or in English means shopping at traditional market. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice slowly, and you can follow after me. Berbelanja. Berbelanja, in English, to shop. Di pasar. Di pasar, in English, at the market. Tradisional. Tradisional, in English, traditional. Membeli. Membeli, in English, to buy. Sayur. Sayur, in English, vegetable. Penjual. Penjual, in English, seller. Melihat-lihat. Melihat-lihat, in English, to see. Segar. Segar, in English, be fresh. Murah. Murah, in English, be cheap. Cabai. Cabai, in English, chili. Bawang putih. Bawang putih, in English, onion. Jagung. Jagung, in English, corn. Bayam. Bayam, in English, spinach. Menjual. Menjual, in English, to sell. Jeruk. Jeruk, in English, orange. 1 kilogram. 1 kilogram, in English, 1 kilogram. Berapa. Berapa, in English, how much. Uang. Uang, in English, money. Next is a conversation on belanja di pasar tradisional, or in English, shopping at traditional market. As usual, I'll say every sentence twice slowly, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between draper and buyer and vegetable seller at the traditional market. Draper. Selamat siang. Selamat siang, in English, good afternoon. Anda mau membeli apa? Anda mau membeli apa? In English, do you want to look for something? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, Can I help you? Di sini, beli dua gratis satu. Di sini, beli dua gratis satu. In English, here, you can buy two and get one free. Be buyer. Maaf, saya mau membeli sayur. Maaf, saya mau membeli sayur. In English, sorry, I want to buy vegetable. Di mana penjual sayur? Di mana penjual sayur? In English, where is the vegetable seller? A. Driver. Penjual sayur ada di sana. Penjual sayur ada di sana. In English, the vegetable seller is over there. Di tempat penjual sayur. Di tempat penjual sayur. In English, at the vegetable seller. Silakan dilihat-lihat. Silakan dilihat-lihat. In English, are there any you are looking for? Sayur di sini semuanya segar-segar. Sayur di sini semuanya segar-segar. In English, all the vegetables are fresh. Segar dan murah. Segar dan murah. In English, they are fresh and cheap. Buyer. Saya mau membeli cabai, bawang putih, jagung, dan bayam. Saya mau membeli cabai, bawang putih, jagung, dan bayam. In English, I want to buy chili, onion, corn, and spinach. Vegetable seller. Selain sayur, saya juga menjual jeruk. Selain sayur, saya juga menjual jeruk. In English, besides vegetables, I also sell oranges. Apakah Anda juga mau membeli jeruk? Apakah Anda juga mau membeli jeruk? In English, do you want to buy oranges? Buyer? Ya, saya mau membeli 1 kilogram jeruk. Ya, saya mau membeli 1 kilogram jeruk. In English, yes, I do. I want to buy 1 kilogram of oranges. Vegetable seller? Apakah ada yang lain? Apakah ada yang lain? In English, anything else? Buyer? Sudah, semua berapa? Sudah, semua berapa? In English, no thank you. How much are they? Vegetable seller. Semua Rp50.000. Semua Rp50.000. In English, Rp50.000. Buyer, ini uangnya. Ini uangnya. In English, here is the money. Vegetable seller, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong Song, sung by an Indonesian female singers Gina Sadeli and Ipuk. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Setangkai Bunga Mawar by Gina Sadeli. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Setangkai Bunga Mawar is a native Kroncong song. As Kroncong music in general, this song has soft rhythm. The song lyrics tells us about a flower as a sign of love of a couple lover. The journey of love is not always run smoothly. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Melati Pesanku by Ipuk. Happy listening.
Melati putih ku tabur.
The song Melati Pesanku is a slow beat song and has nuances of nationalism, telling about a woman who took off her lover to fulfill his devotion to the state and the nation. Melati or jasmine, the white flower, is a symbol of purity and sincerity. Greater love for the country led her to allow her beloved man going to the battlefronts. This song is an original kroncong, which was composed in the era of the Indonesian struggle. Listening to the song seems to evoke a sense of our devotion to the country. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Merah Delima and Bandung Selatan di Waktu Malam by Gina Sadeli. Happy listening, and sampai jumpa.
Tiada kan lebur karena
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.